Okay, ready? A unit's reserves shall be defined as cash in bank minus accounts payable as reflected on the end of the fiscal year balance sheet. Number two, a unit's annual net surplus shall be defined as the amount labeled surplus slash deficit after cash and capital on the end of the fiscal year income statement. Number three, each unit must have a reserve of at least 1 month's operating expenses at the end of the fiscal year. Units may tap this reserve to cover cash flow shortfalls, but must replenish it by the end of the same fiscal year. Number four, any unit that does not meet the operating reserve requirements shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the reserve requirement. Number five, each unit must have an emergency reserve equal to at least 2 months' operating expenses. Units may use this money only in case of a catastrophic event and must submit a plan for replenishing it. Number six, any unit that does not meet the emergency reserve requirements shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than one-half of 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the emergency reserve requirement. That surplus shall enter the unit's reserves at the end of the fiscal year. And number seven, 1 month's operating expenses is defined as the unit's annual operating costs, not including capital spending or central services. Okay, so number seven.
That may be a problem.
Yeah, number seven I think is not correct. 1 month's operating expenses is defined as the unit's annual operating costs.
Oh, that needs to read divided by 12.
Okay.
Very sorry.
And also, central service expenses are part of operating expenses.
Okay.
But they're contingent on income.
Yeah, true. They vary, but they're part of doing cost of doing business.
All right. So to open up discussion on this, I guess we want to move that we accept this, and then you can start amending it if you guys want.
I have a question about it, either before or after the motion.
Okay, Brian's moved it, so go ahead, Jane.
I don't understand that first of all, number seven, I think, should be inserted as number three because we got all the definitions up front that way. That's nice. But the one that's currently labeled number five, each unit must have emergency reserve equal to at least 2 months' operating expenses. Is that in addition to the 1 month? So is it actually a total of 3 months' reserve, one of which can be tapped into, you know, to cover cash flow shortfalls, but must be replenished by the end of fiscal year, and then the additional 2 months? So is that 2 months' the emergency reserve, is that in addition to the operating expense reserve?
Yes. I think the discussion we had was to kind of clarify what the reserve policy was, because it was unclear to many before whether the policy was that we should keep accumulating another 1 month every year, whether we should just have a month in the bank. And accumulating indefinitely seems foolish, and only having a month in the bank seems foolish. So what we laid out here is if you don't have anything, you save a month a year until you've got a month in the bank. And once you've got a month in the bank, you save a half month a year until you've got a total of 3 months in the bank.
Sorry.
Say that again?
Basically, the framework, if you're starting from zero.
Okay.
You put away a month surplus in that first year. Once you're carrying a balance of 1 month from 1 year to the next,
okay,
your only minimum is half a month savings per year. And once you're up to a total of 3 months in the bank, you're done with mandatory savings.
Does that make sense to everybody?
How many stations are doing that right now? And how many do you project will be able to do it, given the shortfall that we've had?
Let me try to answer, Ambrose.
Yeah.
Our KPFA will have 2 months in the bank, and they'll generate at least 1 month operating, or at least a half month, the October bill. So they currently would be okay. WPFW would have 1 month in terms of that month I'm always talking about, that every station needs to pay October bills. They would start to have to work, say, fiscal after next, toward creating a half month for toward its reserves. And they would ordinarily be doing that with a capital campaign or monies they need to be saving to move. So they would have that as a target. APFT right now does not have 1 month budgeted as an operating surplus that it needs for October. So he would have to start to look to build that reserve. WBAI does not have either the 1 month, but it has a half month. So it would need next year or the year after to try to get another half month. So it would start at the end of the year to look towards one full month. So it would take time, and it would be something that they would do. The end product would be that each station would have 2 months in reserve, that is to say, in the bank. So if something happened to the station, they would be able to meet their obligations, pay the staff. Thereafter, they would not have to accumulate any reserve larger than the 2 months. The 1 month that we're referring to is current board policy, where, you know, as you know, we would just maintain that as it is, and it is money that people need on hand at September 30th to pay bills that start October 1st. So that remains in place. Now, the question was, would you have to have accumulate that every year? The answer is no, because if I have my 1 month in year one and I break even in year two, I still have my 1 month. So you are not accumulating. You simply are maintaining. So where a station, for the board deemed, ought to be waived, so then the board can handle it as an ordinary budget, a waiver situation where it says, well, this station will not be able to generate a 2 month reserve in the way that it decides. And the board would, and the finance committee would say, well, we need a 3-year plan to get you, a 3-year plan that would get you there. That really is sort of a.
In other words, this is a wish list policy. It's not mandatory at this time.
Well, the 1 month is currently mandatory.
I know that.
And so what is new is that it says to stations, every year you should look to accumulate an additional half month to your 6 months.
Correct.
It would take you 4 years in that scenario.
Repeat that last statement again. It would take 4 years?
Yeah, it would take you 4 years. Accumulating a new half month each year, it would take you four
mm-hmm.
years.
Okay.
Full 2 months. So it takes a while, but some stations are already doing that and looking to grow their reserves. After all, we've been in business 57 years. You expect that you would start to put away some money for a rainy day. And others would be more difficult. They'd have to look at their structure.
Yes, I'm here.
Adopt that as a goal.
Lonnie, can you speak up a little bit too, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So was that clear, or?
I just wanted to ask Sandra. Sandra, do you know why we're not in that situation right now?
I'm sorry. Say again.
He was saying that we at T do not have the reserve.
Well, that's because the transmitter.
Okay.
Situation, but we're doing the capital campaign or whatever. I don't want to mince words with anybody, but the campaign to build that money back up and then have additional funds.
Okay, thank you.
Ambrose?
Yeah.
You know, every station does have plans to build those reserves. I know at W, the plan is the capital campaign and to save money for a move or to move or to buy a building.
Right.
Even at WBAI, they're looking at mail drops as a way of bringing in extra funds because everyone is feeling the need to have some reserves other than, you know, having a situation where every penny comes in and every dime goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So just seem prudent. And my thinking is that this election year is the time at which we have most listeners looking to Pacifica to give, you know, an alternative point of view on what goes on nationally. Maybe the last window of opportunity we have to start to build reserves when we have most listeners coming back or new listeners coming in wanting perspective of people that are not generally given. So this is that window to start to maybe alert stations to start to build a reserve where interest and maybe revenues will be high.
We have 3 minutes, 2 minutes, excuse me.
Okay, so...
May I propose a housekeeping amendment?
Go ahead.
To add to the end of item 7, comma, divided by 12.
Okay. Oh, to the end? All right. I had
that 7 would read, 1 month's operating expenses is defined as the unit's annual operating cost, not including capital
right.
spending or central services, divided by 12.
All right. I had it operating cost, comma, divided by 12, comma, not including capital spending.
That
so
works
you wanted...
too. I just wanted to make sure it got in there.
Okay. But and Jane, you had suggested that the definitions all go up at the front.
Yeah,
correct?
And I'd like us to postpone a vote on this until next meeting myself.
All right. So is that a motion to postpone?
Yes, it is.
And that's by
I'll second.
I'm sorry?
Is that Jane?
That's
yes.
Jane.
Okay, thank you.
Sandra seconds that motion to postpone.
Okay. Motion to postpone until... A motion to postpone requires a date, so the next meeting would be, I believe, next week is what we have scheduled. Is that correct?
Right.
I think the 23rd.
23rd?
Is what I believe.
Yes.
Okay, and it's the 23rd. All right, so we have a motion to postpone until August 23rd. Are there any objections? All right, hearing none. Motion's postponed. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is financial impact of motions before the PNB. A is the investigation of racism committee. Do we have any language for that, or is anybody prepared to motivate this?
I have a question. Why? This is Sandra. And he's,
go
why
ahead,
Jen. Why is the Finance Committee entertaining this?
Well, we're trying to, it's the financial impact of the motions that are currently before the PNB. Now, I'm not sure Lonnie or someone else, any of the directors might, have these motions been referred back to Finance for financial impact?
No, I think when this committee was formed, I had asking the question, well, how many people will serve on the committee? How
okay.
will there be travel? How long will people be in residence? Will it be mostly a phone conference call? Will it be actual person-to-person visits? And I needed to know that because there's a budget that we have to do, and it could be expensive. So the financial impact of it had not been dealt with. But I'm asking the Finance Committee to work toward looking at what the expenses might be for that committee. Now, we have a receipt, which we did do the work, to see what a typical retreat might cost. But we do have some figures on that now, and I'll bring those forth when we get to that item on the agenda. But the question is on the table of what will it cost? That is planning around the committee. I know the members have just been elected, but it would be nice to look at what an itinerary might be and what a way of proceeding might be so that we can have some idea for the budget coming up, how much to budget for it.
Okay.
Brian.
Go ahead, Brian.
It seems like it's a little backwards for the Finance Committee to be coming up with a budget for another entity. I would just move that we recommend no expenses be authorized for that committee until it presents a budget that's approved by the board.
You mean presents a plan?
Yeah.
Well, I would hope a plan would accompany the budget.
No, the budget's going to be done by us.
That's logical thinking there. They submit a budget for their investigation of the anti-racism.
All right, we have a motion on the floor that no expenses be authorized for the committee to investigate racism until a plan of action from the committee is received.
I think they have to propose a budget. I mean, there has to be numbers. A budget is a plan.
Yeah, they give us a plan and a budget that goes along with the plan.
I'm sorry, who is this? This is Sandra?
Yes.
Go ahead. All right, I'm sorry.
I would request that they give us a budget that goes along with their investigative plan before we, as the Finance Committee of the PMB, submit it to the PMB for approval.
All right. Well, I believe that, Lonnie, aren't you saying that you need to know something for the budget, for this year's budget?
Well, yeah. There's a timeline on it, number one.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll have a committee with no money in the budget. And the second point is that we could use our financial impact statement procedure that we've been discussing, because that's the question I'm asking. What's the financial impact of the committee, whatever its plans are? So I would love to have a plan. But also, why not use our financial impact statement procedures that we've been discussing?
Excuse me, this is Jane. I'd like to get on the stack also.
Go ahead, Jane.
I don't know exactly what we're talking about. This heading, financial impact of motions before the PMB. So do we dispense with A, investigation of racism committee? We don't have anything to deal with that. I just don't understand what we're talking about.
What we have now, Jane, is a motion on the floor by Brian that our committee not authorize expenses in the next fiscal year's budget for this committee until we have a request from the committee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that not correct?
No. Maybe I was operating under an incorrect assumption. My understanding was that this committee's already been created. It's not a pending motion.
Are you talking about the racism committee?
The racism committee, yeah.
Sure is.
Okay. So my policy suggestion was that Pacifica not authorize any expenditures by that committee until it has presented a budget that is approved by the foundation and, if necessary, funds are allocated to it if it's outside the regular budgeting process.
Okay. And I think that Lonnie's request is that he needs to know whether or not something needs to be in the regular budgeting process.
I think they're the ones doing the work. They're going to be the ones coming up with the plan. They're going to be the ones that have to submit a request for funds. We can't come up with it for them.
Right.
But it's in the bylaws, and it should be policy, that committees are not empowered to conduct transactions or execute contracts on behalf of the foundation.
Yep.
I think that the problem is solved if you ask for a financial impact statement and an attached budget.
And all right.
Is that a motion?
That was our problem, I think, and that would be, of course, staying within procedures.
But, Lonnie, since that motion hasn't been adopted by the PMB, well, actually, there is an established policy of the PMB.
Yeah, we already have policy. We're just fleshing it out a little bit more.
So, Lonnie, what exactly is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for us to go back to the PNB and say we need to know if there's a budget, or are you asking us to leave it alone?
Well, that's a good point. I think the recommendation from the committee ought to be that the Finance Committee request that the Racism Committee submit a financial impact statement to the board per existing policy within in a timely fashion for inclusion in the FY07 budget. Otherwise, we will have a problem where the committee trying to do work, but no budget.
Okay. So, Brian, can you withdraw your other motion? Is that okay?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. And so then, Lonnie, the Finance Committee requests that, what is the name of this committee? Investigation of Racism Committee? Is that the name of it?
That's what I understand.
Committee,
I thought it was supposed to be and sexism.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
So is it the Committee to Investigate Racism and Sexism? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Alleged racism and sexism among the 122 members of the foundation, directors
right.
and board.
Is that
okay.
the name of the committee?
Pardon?
They're all guilty. Jesus.
Patty here, I think the point is that, you know, I mean, if it just gets on the phone and, you know, they have conference calls and stuff, it's probably the same cost as most committees. But, you know, the question came about is actually how they're going to implement it. And so there could be other costs. And I think that's why this is being asked for. So I would guess they should put some plan that they have how they're going to do it, and then with the financial impact statement. Otherwise, it's just going to be the same as any other committee, you know, with their telephone conferences and time spent.
Going down the black hole right now as we speak. I mean, what are they investigating, and what do they need in the way of finances to investigate it? And they present a plan to the PNB, and the plan either is approved or not.
Actually, we should be finding out fairly soon who the people are on that committee.
Right, but that's okay. So I'm going to bring everybody back to where we are on for this particular motion or this particular topic, so that we don't get off onto discussing the committee itself. And my question then has to do with the financial impact of a committee and whether or not we have requested financial impact or budget requests from any of the other committees. I mean, would it not be appropriate to have the chair of the PNB send something out, or the ED or the CFO, saying we don't have budget requests from committees, or we need budget requests from committees, or is that just opening up a whole other thing we don't want to open up? Rather than
thinking
about one committee.
Brian here.
Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess you're getting at what I'm trying to wrap my head around. There's a concern that the committee may rack up expenses, but the committee hasn't actually asked for any funding yet. I think what we just need to be clear about is that the committee can't spend anything beyond the cost of being on a conference call like any other committee, unless it submits a budget that's approved through the regular process, and that's incorporated into the foundation budget, unless the funds are actually specifically allocated by the PNB.
Correct. So then my question is, are we asking something of this committee that's different from any other committee? And if so, is that appropriate? And if so...
See, I think we are if we presume to ask for a financial impact statement... rather than just saying you can't spend anything unless it gets budgeted.
Right.
It's on you to present a budget if you think you need to spend something.
Right. And wouldn't we say that to every committee?
No, I'm proposing we have Lonnie here. I'm sorry to butt in there. But
this is Jane. I also have a question.
When the retreat idea came up at the board level, motions originating from the board level like the retreat.
Uh-huh.
The way we handled it was we'd like to do the retreat, but we don't know how much it'll cost. The request came to me as CFO to investigate the cost and report back, in this case, to this committee.
Right.
And I'm suggesting that we follow the same procedure here where we have board-originated committees and these board activities. They generally aren't in anyone's budget. And so they have to get there. They get to get it into someone's budget. And
so are you suggesting we handle this committee as a provisionally approved motion and not something that's actually been finally approved?
Well, I'm suggesting that the information around the retreat, it has to be forwarded to this committee, which I'm prepared to do. And I'm saying handle this committee, the racism committee, the same way. If we did the costing for the retreat, we found out the information. We need to do that with this committee, too, so we know what's going to be an adequate budget coverage. If it's just conference calls, great. If it's more than that, we need to know and the PNB needs to know. And so the next step, I guess, would be to have a convener and see what, if any plans exist, and so we can cost the thing out for the budget.
So you need a plan.
This is Jane.
From the committee,
yeah,
before you can make a financial impact.
Yeah, got to
do something.
Okay, Jane has been waiting, and then Lonnie, I kind of wrote something up that I think reflects what you're saying. You'll let me know, but go ahead, Jane.
Lonnie, did you say concerning this retreat that the PNB asked you to report back to the NFC?
Yeah, we were handling it that way. They didn't. They voted to voted the retreat or recommended the retreat. We were guessing as to how much it would cost. Didn't know because we didn't know what the composition would be, how many people would be there.
Okay.
We didn't know either at the time they made that motion.
Yeah. Okay, Lonnie, I'm sorry to interrupt, Jane, but I want to stay on this agenda item. Retreat is the next agenda item.
I'm sorry. I had a reason for.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, because it looks to me like A, B, and C may possibly all three need to be part of like Lonnie said, some place in the budget. So it looks to me like the only place for these three items to go is in the national office budget. And as such, since the NFC is the only group that reviews the national office budget, I was going to ask that A, B, and C be relegated to a scheduled discussion of the national office budget, you know, with the understanding that there may be some of this discussion that's been going on, there needs to be follow through on the points that people are making, but it looks to me like all three of these need to be part of the national office budget, and that we, as a committee, are asked to review that national office budget. So that's just the point that I wanted to make.
Okay.
And that's also having to do with the 2007 budget, but it's
right. So you're asking that A, B, and C numbers. Number four, A, B, and C, be moved into discussion of the national office budget.
Correct.
Okay, and then
we may not be able to cover that tonight.
And if we don't cover it, or if we don't get, you know, in the period of discussion, is that going to limit Lonnie from getting the information he needs? That's my worry.
I mean, the only point I'm saying is that perhaps if our discussion, I mean, basically, it looks to me like what people have been saying is basically just, helpful ideas about how to get all the information that's needed. But
right.
Wouldn't all three of those things need to be included in the national office budget? I can't see anywhere else they would fit.
Okay.
I would agree that we have a meeting scheduled for the 23rd. I have information on the retreat. I can get information out of the committee if it has any plans, at least whatever their rudimentary plans might be, and bring it to the meeting on the 23rd where we could go through the national office budget. I'll be better able to see the impact.
Good.
Okay.
All right. So is everybody in agreement? Go ahead, Patty.
I'm on the you're talking about the personnel committee retreat?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on that committee, and we didn't reach quorum at the last meeting, but we did sort of, you know, generally speak about ideas and stuff like that.
Right.
About the number and the days and stuff like that, but I don't know if we need any of that or if it's appropriate to say.
Well, I think, Lonnie, you said you had some numbers, right?
Yeah, I did go through that with Greg and some members of that personnel committee,
so
I do have a sense of what those costs will be.
Right.
So I'm saying let's do it all in the, I agree with Jane. Let's do it all in the context of the national office budget, and then I could include the racism group by the 23rd, and we'd have all of it.
Okay. So go ahead, Brian.
I move to postpone considerations of item 4A, 4B, and 4C until discussion of the national budget at next meeting.
Second.
I thought Jane Gatewood had already moved that the review of A, B, and C, D moved into discussion of the national office budget on August 23rd.
Motion to postpone is not debatable.
I didn't say it so clearly. Thank you, Brian.
Is there any objection to move it to postponing until August 23rd? All right. Then we'll postpone. All right, so now we're on 4D, which is the financial impact affiliates as a separate business unit. Lonnie, do you want to go with that?
Yeah. Of course, there's interest in this particular item, and this, you folks recall that the board did at its last meeting require that a budget line item be included in the FY07 budget. The language wasn't as a separate business unit, by the way. So what we've done in discussions with both the archives and the affiliate folks has made a suggestion as to how that might be accomplished. At the same time, not having the two units feel that that monies are being taken away from one unit or another and given to another unit. The compromise that we're looking at is as follows, and discussions are still underway, and Greg may want to join our 23rd meeting and go over it with you folks. But here's what Greg and I have placed on the table, is that we would create a line item where affiliate revenue and affiliate expenses would be shown as a part of the national office budget. It would be placed neither in the affiliate's budget nor in the archives budget. It will be placed in as a project of the national office, which these programs are. And it would be shown with a revenue line and expense line. The advantage of doing that is that you are just simply moving money around, and you're not solving necessarily a revenue problem, but you're just transferring a problem of a pot of money from one hand to another, all of which comes out of the national office budget. So we think that will be done. We'll have the line. What we're now problem solving is the question of how to, once that's done, we still have the national office of deficit. So the two groups, or all three of us at least, archives and affiliates and the national office, are now looking how to look at new revenue sources, increasing revenue from the archives, increasing revenue from the affiliates, and increasing what we do in the national office around mail drops to get rid what is a national office deficit at this point, $50,000, $60,000. So we have another meeting in which that is going to be our focus. How can we increase revenue first to get rid of a deficit? Zero divided by zero, still zero, and we need to handle that. So everyone's agreed that we'll look at some revenue ideas that were placed on the table. So that would be my update.
Brian?
Go ahead.
Lonnie, can you clarify, when you say you would have an expense line item for affiliates, do you mean you would have one line item that encompassed everything from Ursula's salary to, like, printing costs? Or do you mean that you would have a breakout project budget that flows into the overall national office budget?
Yeah, well, right now we're still working on some of that. But the idea would be to show the affiliates' revenue and show the affiliate expenses. So in essence, it would be like a project budget. But in my summary, yeah, I'd have backup as a project, something like what the affiliate does and what we do with the archives at the present time. And so I would show what the projected revenue is for the affiliates, not in the affiliate budget and not in the archives budget. It would be a part of the national office budget. And then the expenses against it, like we do with the board, you know how we do with the board, take the board expenses and we sort of break them out so that folks can see. In our current income statement, we do that with board expenses. We have training, meetings, conference calls, FedEx, and it's broken out. In our current income statement, every income statement has a breakout of the board expenses at least. So the proposal is to have a breakout, 3 to 4 lines, that would give folks an idea of what the expenses are around the affiliates, and we would have a revenue figure that we would work from. At this point, about $150,000, and we would show that up top as revenue. So, yes, it is, I hate to say project, but very much like what we already do with the board. We show expenses already. We break them out so folks can see, and then we would add a revenue line so folks could see the revenue as well. That would be the plan.
And when you upgrade Great Plains, you'll be able to incorporate that into the actual accounting system, right?
Yeah. I'm going to do a hand version of it for August. So by when I do the when I do the FY07 budget in 2 weeks, I will add via Excel that breakout so folks can see it as a part of the FY07 budget before we actually install Great Plains in October. So yes, but it will be done, you know, as a breakout via Excel, which looks pretty much like Great Plains does. Okay, so that's the plan at this point.
Lonnie, can you explain the thinking behind, or maybe I just don't know the history, why is the affiliate stuff in the archives budget, not the national office budget?
Yeah, that's I've been trying to get clarity on it, and different people have different memories of how that occurred. But here's the two theories. One theory is that the archives was collecting and managing the contracts in actual history. And that, therefore, it seemed logical to put the revenue there because that's the way you manage revenue and expense in the same configuration. Been there apparently for some time. Previously, it was as a part of the national office budget, and that is the history where it has always lived in the national office. But the reasoning, as I understand it, of having it go to the archives is that the archives folks wanted a steady source of income rather than having their income pegged to central services, which goes up and down because it's revenue. So it was an unstable source of revenue. And the archives at one point requested a stable source of revenue. And it turned out that the affiliate revenue was the choice. Their position is that wherever the revenue comes from, whether it be central services or whether it be the affiliate income, their concern is that it not be tied to a volatile source of revenue, number one. And number two, that the services that they provide for the affiliate be accounted for in terms of the expenses, because it's an expense to them, and they wanted to be able to cover the expenses that serving the affiliates entails for them. So that's sort of what I've been told. Different people have different theories about it, but that's what I've heard.
So then any income brought in by affiliates becomes available for use by the archives. Is that correct?
Not dollar for dollar. No, that is, the affiliate's money would go into the general fund of national office funds. We do mail drops, we do affiliate, then we have PRA, sales income. This would go into the general fund, and the archives, as well as the affiliates, could draw upon the general available funds and be budgeted like any other unit from the funds that are available, rather than having funds be sequestered for a particular group, whether it be the archives or the affiliates, that their expenses will be met. They propose a budget, they get. At this point, it looks like the affiliate income would match up with the affiliate proposed expenses. And there was a budget that the affiliates that Ursula proposed, and the $150,000 is accounted for in the expenses that she would like to have included in her expense budget. So right now I'm not seeing that as an issue. Affiliate revenue in terms of the budget she's proposed would be spent on affiliate items. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Brian here.
Go ahead, Brian. Brian?
It's a little, well, maybe I should wait until I see the plan you're referring to, but it seems to me like an affiliate program would have to be a revenue center. I mean, the service that we're deriving our affiliate income from is our programming. So if the affiliate fees aren't generating some net revenue that's going back into national programming, seems like what's the point?
Well, it's an interesting point. I don't want to go into it in too much detail, but you have two or three options in the way, in accounting at least, you can handle this. You can handle it as, okay, you're a separate department. If you're a separate department, then all of these services and expenses and insurances are going to get allocated to you, too. If you want the revenue, you also have to be willing to take the expense. And so that would put you in a separate category as a department, and that means you would have to pay, like the stations pay, you another unit. If they have central services, they have to share the expenses of running the network, not just the revenue, but the expenses as well. Well, that's an unfortunate outcome.
So you put the levy on the actual affiliate fees?
Yeah, well, like I said, right now there are no levies on there are no affiliate expenses, no central services against the affiliates. The services that the affiliate program receives from a PRA, from the national office, are counted as expenses to the affiliate program, although we focus on the revenue. So that one way to go is to say, okay, you're a department, then you're going to have to be treated like a department, which nobody really wants to do because it's...
Wait a minute, are you saying that Ursula doesn't want to be a separate department?
I'm saying that the way separate departments are treated includes some expenses she hasn't thought of. Like central services charges, you have to take your fair share of insurance, your fair share of workers' comp, your fair share of other expenses that she's currently not paying.
But Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's what.
No, go for it.
So I prefer not to do that because it creates some nightmares and fights over, well, what part of the insurance do I pay, what part do I not pay, and that sort of stuff. I prefer to work from a pool of funds. That's in this case. Would be the affiliate fund. And you draw down on those funds based on, as we would with any budget, appropriate use. If you had $1 million, but you were proposing to spend it in ways that were not generally going to work to the benefit of the network, they'd have a budget approved like everyone else. That's the model we're talking about right now. Not approved just for the revenue, but also for how you propose to use that revenue. And that is the model that Greg and I are looking at. Sure. And we did review a budget submission from Ursula. We did go over it in great detail. We did approve the expenditures that she was looking to achieve up to the $150,000 point. So we feel that that's what it works right now. And we don't have to put too fine a point on it. She gets the use of those funds, and that seems to be satisfactory to everyone.
How much income did affiliates make last year?
Well, this year it'll be $150,000 or so. She submitted a budget for $150,000,
okay.
Adding wanting more staff and also to do an assistant and wanting to do more marketing. And just as any other project, when we review that national office budget, we'll look at the use of those funds as we would with any other unit. That is, how the fund is supposed to be used. And she has submitted a plan, and that is something that we'll have to go over, too.
She's anticipating that, last year income was $150,000. She's anticipating $200,000 income this year, right?
Yeah, and we're taking the extra funds, and that's what she is wanting to use the extra funds to pick up an assistant. And that's the budget she submitted, up to that $200,000.
Okay. Do you anticipate that the collections of monies with the clients, with the affiliates, will continue to go through archives rather than through your office?
Collections. That is a... Yeah, who collects right now? Of course, the archives.
So you're particularly good at collections.
Yeah, Mariana's good at collections. She's real good at it. At first, I don't think that you can have the person raising and receiving funds also be the collector of those funds. It's not accounting practice. That's bad internal control. You can't do that. So I would not support having collections go through the affiliates. I would propose that it stay with the archives. So you have separation of function. The person receiving the check should not be the one writing the check. That's basic accounting separation of power, of control. So, but we're still talking about it. But, yeah, it would stay with the affiliates, which they seem willing to, I mean, they would stay with the archives, which they seem willing to do. And I would not want to port it over to the national office for a lot of reasons. It's a lot of work. And we have, this network has grown 20-30% in 3 or 4 years. And we have the same staff, so we're on overload now. You know, nothing's out of the ordinary. I'm hoping we can streamline the contracting process so it's not such a...
Wait a minute. You say your staff is overworked?
Yeah, this network has grown from 8 million to 16, 17 million in last 5 years. That's a lot more invoice,
a lot
more bills.
But Ursula has gone from 13 affiliates to almost 100.
Yeah, that's not accurate. I don't want to get into a debate, but I did thoroughly research how many affiliate income in 1998 was 211,000, and we had close to 100 affiliates, had 50 affiliates then. And the reason he had the 50 affiliates is that they were paying twice as much as they're paying now. We drastically reduced those rates.
Well, we reduced the rates because when we had 50 affiliates, we also had Pacifica National News, which was very expensive. So, so when Ursula came in, we no longer had Pacifica National News to offer to them. So
we had Democracy Now.
Yeah.
Democracy, not Pacifica National News.
Yeah, but we didn't have both.
Well, I think we did. I'm not so sure that. No, yes, we did have Democracy Now because, for example, Rip Robbins and a number of affiliates, when they got disgusted with Pacifica, I mean, you have to realize Ursula had a major. Public relations issue to deal with where we had kicked Democracy Now! Out of WBAI, right? There were affiliates that took Democracy Now! And were supporting Democracy Now! Separately because we were not offering it.
What item are we discussing now?
Yeah, this is an item. We're getting into the debate.
My question is this. My question is, so we're going to continue the practice of having archives do collections. At some point I'm wondering, why wouldn't it naturally go into your office?
Because Mariana's been doing it for like 20 years. She's an expert. She knows. She's talking about 100 affiliates. And at this point, I don't support having it come to the national office. I think that would be overwhelm of people, the collections would suffer. And you're talking not just about billing. You're talking about stations that may have issues, problems, questions on rates. They even have technical problems. Whoever's doing the billing, they will be calling in asking. They won't differentiate. And Ursula is trying not to do that. She's that question. He's an assistant because she's overwhelmed. Well, that will be overwhelming for anyone, us included. That's why she's getting the extra help. Well, we won't have any extra help. So I'm not sanguine on that one. But like I said, we're still trying to work it out and see what we come up with by the 23rd. Maybe we'll have an idea that will satisfy everybody on the billing.
So, Monty, are you looking for feedback or do you need a motion from us?
I didn't put it on the agenda. I just think that what I was thinking about doing an update instead of saying we're still in process around this billing issue. We'll see what we come up with.
Okay, so this can go back on the 23rd, where we into the budget process when we're looking at national office and archive budget, correct?
Yeah, we're going to try to finalize it then, along with the other items in this national office budget. And there.
Okay, great. So I just want to point out that we're now 55 minutes behind schedule.
So let's
move along. Do you have anything else on the affiliates that you want to talk about, Lonnie? At this point?
No. And as I said, Greg will be on the call with us, so we'll see what we can work out then.
Okay.
The issues are still pressing forward on this issue. Everybody's talking with each other, hopefully trying to get it resolved.
Okay. All right. We have on the agenda then 15 minutes for an update on draft budgets.
May I ask one more question?
Okay, go ahead.
Are you saying, Lonnie, do you, I haven't seen it, but is this total of income and expenses, is that somewhere what you have, what your plan is for affiliates right now? I'm asking for the committee because.
When I update this FY07 budget, there it will be shown.
So we haven't seen it, we're seeing the proposals by the station. But we haven't seen the affiliates yet.
No, we're still in negotiation.
And we'll see it on the 23rd.
I'm planning to update the draft budget. Well, that's our next item anyway. Might as well get into it, I suppose. But if it's okay, Madam Chair, or yes, there's yes, Teresa.
All right,
I will have the new format, which we'll try to we'll show the affiliate revenue and expense.
Thank you.
Okay, so now let's move on to an update on the draft budgets. Do you want to start that, Lonnie, or do you want to go around station to station? What does everyone prefer? Why don't you, Lonnie, tell us where you think everything is?
Yeah, I'd love to be. I'd love any more up-to-date information if you have it. But right now, our budget timetable is not looking that great. Remember, we were supposed to have the draft budget with finance us as of the 15th, and then we were to have it 2 weeks. And then beyond that, Labor Day week is gone, and then it would be going out to the board sometime between the 8th and the 15th. We'd be compiling it. Here's where we stand. KPFA. Remember that the budgets in our bylaws have to be signed off on literally by the LSBs, and I'm expecting each chair to send me an email indicating that that has occurred. So KPFA, the LSB is scheduled to meet next Sunday, August 20th, on the budget for FY07. So that's the 20th. KPFK, the information that I have is that the Finance Committee will meet next Monday, but the LSB will not meet until September. That may be a problem depending on when in September they meet. You know, they meet the middle of the month. That gives us very little time to prepare budgets for a board that will meet later on in the month. Not to mention, have it come back any changes to Finance Committee. Then WBAI, they have provisionally approved the budget for next year, pending more information. I said I've already provided that information, so I don't anticipate they have much problem with it, assuming they will meet. But Rudy, do you know when they will meet? I don't have a date. When would that WBAI-LSB meet for final approval?
Rudy, are you there? Patty, do you know? Okay.
Oh, WPFW. I understand that they
I'm sorry, I was here. I was on mute.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know when LSB will meet?
LSB meets on September 13th?
You're September 13th, too, huh? Okay. WPFW, turns out that LSB, according to my information, will meet also on September 13th for W. T has signed off, and all I'm waiting on is a note from the chair that the LSB has approved budget. So I get the budget with a final version of the budget because without changes. Because remember, the LSBs will suggest, and some of them insist on certain changes, and we need to get those last-minute changes before I can present anything like a final budget. So on the 23rd, I will not have a final budget because I will not have the LSB's final input on the budget process. So that's what I meant by the timetable is getting very, very dicey. national office, of course, has to wait and see if LSBs will add more expense to the budget. And if they do, that changes, that sets up a dynamic, because many times, you know, you have to figure out, well, how are you going to cover that expense? And that means it may result in revenue increases or estimates around revenue. But the bottom
line
is...
Hold on a second there, Lonnie. Are you saying you believe the LSBs have the authority to revise budgets?
Some of them think they do. So we have to wait and see. So the bottom line is that the final for two stations, the LSBs will not finish with their final product until sometime after the 13th of September. And we in finance, if there are significant changes, will have to plan to meet, you know, the 15th, the 16th, and then compile the budgets, and then get those ready for going out sometime around the 20th to the board. Some board people like to get it before then. But right now, bottom line, we only have one final budget in the whole network.
And that's Texas?
ST, yeah.
Okay. All right, so go ahead. Who is speaking?
And that was just me. I was saying, if there's anything folks can do to speed up the process, talking to your LSB chairs or maybe having a special budget meeting, September 13th is tough because that means we on the finance are the caboose of the train. Well, I'm the caboose. You're the next to the last car. If we get it late and we get it out late, and if there's controversy or whatever, we're the last in line. And,
well, let me explain the situation at K and see if you... Our LSB meets on September 6th. Now, our local finance committee has made several attempts to review the budget, the draft budget, the one that you sent the National Finance Committee that you worked on over the phone with our GM.
Yeah.
We took that draft budget, and the attempt was made to compare that to actuals for this fiscal year. But what happened is what typically happens when we take the income statement, then our GM says, no, wait a minute, these numbers can't be right. And when we ask for documentation that shows, you know, what she thinks the correct numbers are, we don't have it. So then we get kind of stuck because everybody on the finance committee then doesn't feel comfortable approving a draft budget that they don't feel is based on actual numbers. So that's kind of where we are. We've had like several meetings and we just can't get anywhere because my intent at our last meeting was just to use all the stuff you sent out, Lonnie, and then our GM said, no, these numbers aren't right. So we get stuck.
I won't comment on the call, but I think I have sent out a redid every line item and every budget since October 1st, and every expense since October 1st. I think I sent it out today, too. Worked on the weekend on it. So these numbers are correct. They're absolutely usable. And they can be they can use them as the basis for comparing to what's being planned budgetarily for 07.
Okay, so you're referring specifically to the actuals or the projection based on actuals?
Actuals, both. I do actuals and I do a forecast on those.
No, I'm asking Casey what she's having trouble with.
Oh.
We're having trouble with the actuals. When we look at the actuals and we say, okay, so here's the income statement, here's the income we brought in on listener income, and here's what we brought in on major donors, then the GM will say, no, that's not right. They must have moved this around. And then we say, okay, well, show us what was moved around. Show us what you think is right. And then she says, I can't. The system's been down since February, and we're still putting information in. So then we say, okay, well, you know, we need some numbers, and we go back to Lonnie's statement, and we'll go move on to the next thing. And we'll say, let's leave income alone. Let's go to expenses. And then we'll say, here's our expenses for premiums. And then the GM will say, no, that's not what we spent on premiums. The national office must have put that in another line item. And then we say, okay, well, give us the backup documentation on what we really did spend on premiums. And then she says, I can't. The system came down since February. So then the finance committee says, well, we're not going to approve a budget based on numbers that you're telling us are not correct. So I honestly, this, you know, I don't know what to do at this point. What our GM has said is that she has a deadline of August 15th, which is today, to get all the information back in the system, and that she will print out those reports, and I'm assuming then, now that everything's back in the system, that her reports will match Lonnie's, and we're going to meet Monday night, and we have a meeting scheduled for two consecutive Mondays to try to work this out, and we'll go to the LSB on the 6th. But I don't know how else, you know, where else to go with this. It's been the same thing for a couple years for me now, is that each time, you know, you explain the numbers and they make sense, but then locally we're told no.
Numbers are accurate.
Okay.
I'm going to have to excuse myself, everyone. I have to go teach a class, but thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Late class.
Well, anything folks can do to be nice, because we don't finance. If we get them on the 15th, or let's see, what date would that be? If we get them in September by, say, Friday the 15th, then we would have to meet the week of the 18th as a finance committee to go over all the budgets with the final changes, et cetera. And say if we were to meet then on the 18th, 19th, I would have just 2 or 3 days to compile the budgets to send them out for a board meeting occurring the following week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be, they'll be, you know, just a crunch time, because you'll be checking back with GMs and LSBs and what does this number mean? Some of the numbers won't make sense. So, you know, we'll do the best we can, of course, but boy, it's going to be tough.
Well, is there any chance that those LSBs who are meeting on the 13th might hold a special meeting the week before for budget?